The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Fitzroy, and you are listening to Cracking the Nature Code. Whales singing pop music, termites going to architecture school, ants harvesting in their farms. These and other such oddities of the natural world have fascinated me, as countless other humans throughout history. If you are curious like me, or perhaps you're feeling like something's missing and you're experiencing life as simply mundane, join me to explore these mysteries with humor and humility to experience the world in a brand new way. Don't you just love those days off when you don't have to get up early in the morning and have to be running around trying to make everything happen in order to get to work, to school, or to whatever other appointments one has to go to? Those, for most of us, happen to be weekends, and this weekend was a really awesome type of weekend. The weather was great, sunny, mild, all the blossoms on the trees already coming out, the birds chirping, a lot of chatter going on. There's so much peace out in nature when one is not trapped inside that. What the heck? Damn squirrel!
Stop interrupting!
God, I'm just trying to do a show here, you know? Okay, so where were we? Oh, yeah. That beautiful morning sun, blossoms on the trees, birds chirping, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And yes, I remember now. There's so much peace out in nature when one is not trapped inside that alternate world, the kind of metropolis of the mind that takes us away from nature, from ourselves, that forces us to become adults and approach the world with a warrior stance to try to stand above everybody else. Those mornings when one can really just be a child again. It seems to me those are the times when I feel more like myself, when I feel more real. I don't have to pretend. What is it, anyway, that we try to communicate when we're at work, in school? How come we are forced to push down our real emotions, our feelings, the way we think? Is it culture? But what is language, anyway? Well, that question has been with me for quite a while now. I remember somewhere hearing that Albert Einstein was working on the theory of relativity, and time was a big thing that he recognized was relative. I remember hearing about that idea and connecting somehow to many other ideas that I had heard before regarding the life of animals. I had questioned how an animal that lives so much less or so much longer than a human can actually experience the life from their perspective, subjectively, as a full and complete life, from birth to childhood and puberty, adulthood, and the elder years. Doesn't every animal and every living creature in this world go through the same life cycle? Seems to me pretty convincing. And to think, subjectively, that when I see my life and I experience my life as a full life from birth to death, in the perspective of a tree that lives 1,000 years, or even a whale that lives 200 years, or perhaps an ant, or how about a cell, the living cell inside our own bodies? Don't they, from their relative, subjective point of view, experience a full life? Don't they go through all the same cycles as we do? So sometimes when I hear these animal communications going on, I wonder what they're saying to each other. And a while ago, I was intrigued by this idea And I thought about what it would be like if I were a tree, per se, if I were something that lives very, very long. What kind of lifespan would it recognize the human as having? Perhaps it wouldn't be any longer than relatively how a human sees or experiences the life of a cell or the life of an ant. So what if we could experience life from a different perspective and actually try to understand that similarity that we all share as living creatures? But I think in order to explore these ideas, there's definitely some prerequisites we need to set in order to put forth this hypothesis. I think if we could possibly agree that if we were to ask an anthropologist, what is language? One would probably receive an answer that is very sophisticated regarding the difference between language and communication, for example. The scientific perspective separates communication from language. Furthermore, it actually speaks of language as a very human characteristic. There are videos on YouTube, TED Talks, that I've actually watched, where the whole question of language and communication is actually explored. But one thing that I see in common with all of the research and all of the videos that I have watched from the scientific community, they tend to agree that the animal kingdom and the plants do not really have a language. They communicate, but they do not possess language. However, I personally feel that if we were to ask the same question to children of a certain age that have experienced what it is like to be in a particular natural environment, perhaps a garden, a farm, and if we were to ask those 5 to 7 year olds what is language, I don't think we would receive a very logical explanation and description of that. I think the question of language would refer to the expression of an individual's needs, emotions, ideas, desires. Perhaps we can all agree on that in order to be able to understand what I'm trying to express here. So, setting aside these technicalities of language versus communication, my hypothesis is that communication is universal. Its purpose is to contrast and compare individual perspectives between organisms. The organism can express two types of perspectives, I think. An internal facing one, such as I feel hunger, or an externally facing perspective, such as it is raining. So with that in mind, I'd like to share with you a few audio files that I have found on the internet. And I have actually taken my computer software, some basic software such as Audacity, and changed the speed of the audio. This idea came to me quite a while ago, and I was baffled and in awe of what I actually found out, even with a basic experiment such as this. For what is that an organism tries to communicate? I like to think of the idea that Maslow's pyramid of needs exemplifies very succinctly, how an organism has very specific needs in order of priority. The physical, real physical living needs are primordial. I need to feed myself. I need to have shelter. I need to protect my land. I need to find a partner. I wish to have community so that we can be stronger together. There's perhaps only 5 basic needs that I believe every living creature in this world expresses. And going back to the question of the squirrel, where the squirrel started chirping at me, it was actually not just a squirrel. It was actually a sped up audio file of a warrior from Papua New Guinea demonstrating his warrior chants. Let's look at that again.
Ha ho ra hua ha ho ra hua ha ho ra hua.
We should bear in mind that the warrior is demonstrating the sounds that are produced when they are in a war stance. But even so, if we speed up the recording, we can get an idea of what I was talking about regarding the relativity of time. It may not seem so natural. Our brain is obviously being very critical of the sounds. But now let's look at an actual recording of a squirrel being angry. And afterwards, let's see how it sounds when we slow it down. And here's the recording, slowed down. Interestingly enough, there seem to be some barks in the background, like a sub-layer of vocal expression. But in the forefront, you can actually hear the slowed-down bark of the squirrel, and to me, it sounds very much like a human voice, a human warrior voice defending its territory. I think it approaches more what the warrior would sound like if he were actually positioned to defend its territory. Now, to compare a related event, I found a recording of a ground squirrel being held by a human. And I think it's a really good example of what it means to defend one's body from harm, while, intriguingly enough, at the same time calling out for help. Let's listen. And here's the slowed down version of this recording. Now, earlier I alluded to the idea that there should be some type of relativity in time between the life of an ancient tree, a whale, a human, and an ant. And to put that into perspective, here's a really interesting recording of a whale, and I think you'll be very surprised when you hear what the time shifting does to the whale sounds. And what if we sped up that recording? What do you think it would sound like? Can you see what this might reveal about our language and communication as living beings? But to drive the point even further, let's now look at a primate. This is a siamang's call out in the forest. And let's listen to the same recording, sped up. And here's the slowed down version of this recording. So, who's the bird? Who's the whale? And who's the primate in this recording? Isn't it all just time relative? Although this is a very small sampling of all the recordings that I've worked with in the past, I hope it has opened up your imagination to something new. in relation to language and communication in nature. And in closing, I'd like to leave you with this thought. I think we owe it to ourselves to find a space that can provide the conditions to filter out the hyperactive world we live in. A space that can let our essence come forth and receive the attention, the nurturing that it needs to thrive. For what is life worth living for if we're unable to nurture our most personal and prized possession? So, while we're still going through this wonderful journey called life, I invite you to keep on cracking the Nature Code.